From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Postcard from Poprad, which will start very shortly. Ahead of that, we have to say our sympathies go to the RTI weatherman who passed away this week. Andrew Moore, age 53, was a great friend to RTI and supplied a live weather service to the station's website, RTI FM. Andrew will be best remembered for maintaining the Prestatyn weather station on behalf of the Met Office. Andrew, who lost his fight against lung cancer, was laid to rest this week. In addition to providing weather services for a number of stations, Andrew was made a member of the elite group of coastal weather observers in 1991. Ian Olson, Coastal Facilities Officer, paid tribute to the Prestatyn weatherman. He said, "I'm deeply saddened by the news that Andrew has passed away. He was a well-respected forecaster and an extensive knowledge of the weather. Andrew was a fascinating and kind soul that we really enjoyed getting to know. Typical of Andrew, he didn't want to burden anyone and forbade doctors from sharing news of the illness, which was diagnosed last summer. As a tribute to Andrew, Stephen Pavitt from the Wirral Merseyside Weather Centre will continue to run Andrew's website. Andrew was buried in Stoke next to his father Alfred. He leaves behind his mother Iris." Welcome to Postcard from Poprad, boys and girls. It's Eric Wiltshire here at the base of the Tatry Mountains, and we're still covered in snow. And over there on the other side of the little pond, namely the North Sea, it's none other than the magical, washed, clean, short haircut Lee Banks.
Were you talking about me then?
Yeah.
I don't have short hair.
I was joking.
I'm like an Adonis. I'm like Jim Morrison.
I'll stop it just because you've seen Jim Morrison in the studio.
Yeah, I'm going to tell everybody he's got a picture of Jim Morrison's bippers on his wall.
it wasn't,
that's a bit weird.
I have to say, it wasn't me. It wasn't.
That's what everybody said.
It wasn't. Actually, it was a young lady that lives in Ireland now, who you remember, which was Natalia, who was my first PA when I came to Slovakia.
You nicked her picture.
And she said, "I want Jim Morrison and Kurt Cobain in the studio." And so that's
talking with dead man.
And so, who am I to argue with a woman? I know my place. I think not. But she wanted to buy these pictures, and so we had them, we bought them, and we framed them, and we stuck them up in the studio, and everybody thought it was funky, apart from me. Hey, well, hi to Talk Radio X people and to everybody on Audio Boost. Some more updates on that shortly, and replay as well.
Everybody.
This is Postcard from Poprad. Sideways look at the news, and that's what tends to happen on a regular basis. Now ensconced in our new little studio, which is rather nice.
I know you have a new little studio, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Big studio.
I like it.
That was a lovely one. I've still got my big rambling studio with its aeroplane seats and its dead charm.
There's something about that, Lee, that I just... It doesn't compute with me. But we'll do our very best. Must say hi to David, who's down in Australia. Thank you for all the upgrades and promotion of RTI. It's really sweet of you. Also, thank you to Dr. Martin, who's in Germany, who's written a big story about us. Gosh.
Has he?
Yes, actually. On his website.
Dr. Martin?
Yeah, Dr. Martin has... You're very loud.
My dog loved him.
You're very loud now in this news. I'm going to have to learn to turn you down a bit.
Don't you turn me down. He's been able to hear me for 12 months.
So thanks to Martin in Germany. Also to Mark Rock from Audio Boot, who's been retweeting us all over the place, which is very sweet of him. So thank you, Mark. And oodles of others. We've been so busy getting everything organised. I will have to say thank you to so many people next week, because... it's been a bit of a busy week this week.
I just have two that I'd like to do.
Two that you'd like to do?
Two that I'd like to do.
Is that legal?
Yeah. One's from Sarah in Manchester. Sarah says that she's just started listening to Postcard from Poprad, and she's doing that on the iPhone.
On the iPhone.
And, she's just a nice little note. Just says, just started listening. It's very funny.
Really? Are you sure she's listening to us?
Yeah.
Hello, Sarah. Up in Manchester.
Sarah. No, Sarah. She makes it very clear. It's hard because it hasn't got an H on the end.
Oh, I'm very sorry, Sarah.
She's got a silent H.
She's not that Sarah, is she?
Which Sarah? Oh, that one.
Yes.
Could be. We're multitasking our listeners.
Yes. You need to be careful, otherwise it'll be off with your head or something like that.
And the other one, I think this is really nice. This is another new listener.
Uh-huh.
And that's Post Office Pete.
Post Office Pete. Right, okay, Post Office Pete.
From Woodsley's. He's just started listening. I think he's just started listening on iPhones.
Yeah.
And once again, he has a message for us.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and he just says quite nicely, quite simply, will somebody buy my post office? Yeah. No, he said, no, actually, I know this post office. It's a really good little business. Beautiful little cottage, country cottage post office.
So are we a real estate radio station now?
No, I was just wondering if me and you should buy it.
No, you don't know. What? You've forgotten, haven't you?
What?
Well, my late father was a sub-postmaster in the UK.
I haven't forgotten about that. I knew he was in the Navy.
Yeah. he ran a post office for something, just up to 30 years he ran it.
Well, Peter's been doing it for about 15.
Yeah, and he had, I'm trying to remember now, 3 break-ins at night where they actually took a wall out to get into the place.
Well, every night?
No, not 3 every night, 3 across his term. A couple of daylight raids with shotguns.
Well, he shouldn't have had a shotgun.
Stop it. Sorry, Dad, it's him, it's not me.
I thought your background being in the post office, me and you, we could live together. You and I could live together. The girls could live up the road in the old stores.
Stop it. Stop it.
No, you're all excited and all flushed, haven't you?
I did have a nice story in Poprad the other day as I went to the corner shop we have here called, and they're generically known as a Port Travney. And the little lady that I go in to talk to, who speaks to me in Slovak, as we said, she wasn't there, her son was there, and he initially thought I was German. And it's Rickard, so hi Rickard. And then we worked out I was English.
Why did he think you were German?
Well, because of the way I spoke my Slovak. No, but it's the way I speak my Slovak. Apparently it sounds a bit Germanish.
Bombastic.
Probably. And he's another one who's just found us on the iPhone. And he said, I've just been listening to you. Are you called Eric? So I said, yes, and I'm very grateful that he didn't mix up Lee and Eric, because I would have been devastated. But anyway, hi to Rickard and the crew over in Bratislava, because apparently they're now all listening to us on their iPhones, which is really cool. So thanks for that, guys. And keep the messages coming in, either via the website or you can get in touch with us direct. It doesn't matter at all. And we move along to Derby. Not the football team, but the place. Poor old Portsmouth down the toilet. Pompey's gone. Pompey's gone. They've gone bust for 70 million quid. And the wage...
Who's that? Who's gone bust?
Portsmouth Football Club.
I didn't know it had one.
Oh, it's in the Premier League,
Is the Premier League to do with lager?
No. Oh, actually, I've got a story coming up just for you on that subject later. Anyway, the Derby Inner Ring Road is apparently going to be named Lara Croft Way.
I know.
Why?
Why do I know? Because I keep in touch with the news. That's part of my job. No.
Apparently.
I don't know why they call it, really.
I don't get it.
She wasn't. Lara Croft from Derby. Well, yeah, little Derby girl.
No, not at all.
No, I don't think so.
No.
How are we going to call Brian Clough Way as well?
No. Oh. So apparently Lara Croft tends to, when she comes into Central Europe, she does sort of go on a bit about her Central European roots from her parents. But then when she goes back to America, it seems to disappear again.
Eric?
What?
Lara Croft doesn't exist.
Oh.
She's one of those little cardboard cutout characters that you animate.
Oh, I'm thinking of the actress that plays her.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have realised that, shouldn't I?
Anyway, apparently, £36.2 million... No, pounds. Pounds! Jesus wept. £36.2 million road.
Yeah. Unbelievable, really.
Is to be named Lara Croft after a public vote. Which
why
tends
would you do that?
It tends to say to me that if people voted for a cartoon character with whatever her name is, I can't remember, instead of somebody important, it doesn't leave a lot for the real world as it is now, does it?
Well, I think, yeah, I know. Why don't we have one round here called Lassie?
Lassie?
Or, yeah, her shades are raising things of tinting. We could call our roundabout at the end of the road here.
You're rubbish at that. Oh, I know, because it comes from Belgium. Sorry, Belgium. Sorry.
Well, we love your chocolates, and we don't think your country's being split into two.
Sorry, Belgium. If you haven't followed that story, do look it up.
Do look it up and see what a load of...
Yes, yeah, absolutely. But apparently 89% of the people that voted wanted Lara Croft. So they said it was too much of a score to ignore, and that's why... They're going to name it Lara Croft. I'm waiting for the game to come out later.
How much do you think these cost to do that?
What, to do a survey?
Yeah, well, no, just to decide on making that name. Why do these people who, you know, are pretend politicians, local councillors, what call have they got to come up with an idea like that?
Well, I don't know. Actually, I do know. I've just worked it out. It's their desire to be nationally famous.
Well, I think that's right. And it is this internet thing again, isn't it? Because that's creating their 15 minutes of stupidity, which they see as fame.
Hello. It was in all the newspapers.
Well, it was in all the newspapers. I'm not saying that, but it's because of the internet that they had the idea.
What? Well, Lara Croft's a game.
I don't care about her sex life. She might be game, she might not be. Doesn't make any difference to me.
It's a game.
It's a computer game.
Yeah, we also got to do with the internet.
The internet's on computer.
You can play the game without being on the internet.
Yeah, but you look stupid running down the middle of the road swinging from lamp posts and things like that, wouldn't you?
No.
You'd have UKIP after you.
No. You can play the game on your Wii.
Oh, no, you can't do that. That's disgusting.
Anyway, moving along. Apparently, a place that was once dear to us, still is dear to my heart, has produced the modern-day version of Robin Hood.
While you do this, I'm just going to get undressed, all right?
What?
I'm just going to get undressed while you're doing this one.
If you're going to do topless radio again, that's it.
No, I'm keeping my top on. Oh. It's the bottom I'm taking off.
An alleged, I have to say the word alleged, hacker has been hailed as a modern version of Robin Hood for leaking data about the internal finances of banks and state-owned firms to the Latvian TV. Using the name Neo, which is obviously an alias and refers to the Matrix, a hacker wants... actually... What? No. Stop me. The hacker says that he wants to expose those cashing in on the recession in Latvia. Tell us something we don't know. But what he's actually done is he's become like a cult hero in Latvia, which is only a very small country.
And he's a very little...
Little hero, then.
But
apparently, he's so clever that over a three-month period, he's managed to get all sorts of data. And then they presented it to the state-owned Latvian TV. I don't think I was ever on that one. I was on Channel 4 out there. And that's true. and, of course, so he's having a go at all these banks and stuff like that because unemployment out there is about 23%, which is the highest anywhere in Europe. And over the, I think it's 2 or 3 years, the economy over there has dropped by huge amounts, sort of 25%.
What's Latvia's economy based on?
Well... The trouble is it went...
I think no money.
Well, it came out of one place and went to another, and then it became, shall we say, an interesting place to go if you were a loose person. In other words, all kinds of tourism was absolutely encouraged, getting drunk, doing what you've just done, allegedly, and it was all normal. Which doesn't really bring you good tourism, does it? The whole economy was based on things like the loutish lads that are about. And I always said that was a bit of a wrong way to go, because it's such a beautiful, beautiful city. The whole thing's fabulous. And the truth is that Latvia, if you go to the old city in Latvia, it is beautiful, folks. It is absolutely fantastic. But, I think people tend to lose it. But there you go. That was the new Robin Hood of Europe, who's in Latvia. And he's been twittering about this. He's been doing all sorts of stuff. He's been everywhere talking about this wonderful thing. bless his little cotton socks. What have you done now? You've taken your headphones off.
Lee, I can't hear you.
Well, plug the headphones in then, you fool.
Good job, we got this new studio, innit?
It's your end. You took the headphones out, didn't you?
I didn't. The call vanished on me. Was I still on the air when I thought I wasn't?
No, we're still live on the air. You sounded like that little bird that used to be around called Orville.
Orville, I used to love Orville.
And every time somebody said, but Orville do that, he said, I didn't. I didn't. You're right. Anyway, this is a story especially for Lee.
Where are we up to now?
We're moving on to Vienna.
I know where we're going. We're going to see a man called Maria.
Yes, we are actually. And I think this is very apt from the comments that we made earlier on. Because a monastery near Vienna is offering men, obviously because monks are men, the chance to be a monk for a weekend, which basically means you couldn't do that, Lee. You couldn't do that. You couldn't do that.
And you couldn't do that.
You
can't get fat.
Well, you wouldn't be able to do that.
I don't have any air. I wouldn't allow to have air.
Probably for the weekend. During the weekend, apparently, people will have the chance to work and pray with. Oh, it's me coffee. Are you going to say hello today?
What, to your coffee? I'll say hello to you. You want me to say hello to your coffee? Hello, coffee. How are you?
Lee, she won't say hello to you. Go on, say hello to me.
Well, pour it away then.
Say hello.
Hi.
Was that your coffee?
No, that was Petra, your fault.
Sorry, hello, Petra. I thought I was saying hello to the coffee. That was incredible, the coffee.
Anyway, apparently during the weekend, you will have the chance to work and pray.
Hey, excuse me, why is Petra not talking to me?
I don't know, she's gone now. Ooh. I think the dinner's here.
I love you, Petra. I love you in all your beauty and wondrous ways and charms. I love the way you control Eric.
Right.
And make things happen.
Apparently, the monks want to provide people with a realistic impression of life in a monastery. And, we got a problem, Lee.
What?
We got a problem.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're going to say, yeah. You're 40. Well, at least the 40.
Apparently.
I'm 38 and a half.
Oh, no. Apparently the nuns are going to have a go at this as well, doing a weekend of being in the sisterhood. I suppose it's a good detox weekend, if you like, for nothing, which is not so bad. But 40 counts us out, really, doesn't it? There you go. This is Postcard from Poprad with Eric and Lee on the wireless and the platforms and the other stuff. If you'd like to get in touch with any of the comments that we make here on RTI and Postcard from Poprad, please do so via the website and or various other bits and bobs. Well, you know, Facebook and all that sort of stuff. Because that's what we tend to do. I sit at the base of the Tatry Mountains, enjoying it. Still, I've got a bad leg actually because I slipped over yesterday. I slipped over and I banged my knee, and I was just sort of getting into my car late last night, as you do. You know when you sort of like get into your car, and if there's an icy bit, and I slipped, and I banged my leg. Now, don't laugh, mate. Don't laugh, because it's actually laughing. Very, very painful. So I've got this poorly leg at the minute because I slipped on the ice last night and I banged my knee on Megan. Megan's the car. Anyway, I love this. You're going to like this story.
Which one are we on to now?
We're going to Holland now for the next one.
Oh, right. The please rub me.
Yeah, and I just love the spin on this. Politicians are very good at this sometimes. It has to be said, this is my award of the week. For best spin. There's a Dutch website called Please Rob Me, which claims to reveal the location of empty homes based on what people post online. So if you Twitter, I'm going out, or, you know, if you use some other form of communication and you're away from your home, you can actually look this up on this website and figure out where to go and do naughty things. And the guy said, no, it's nothing to do with that. What we're trying to do is to prove to people how you shouldn't say things on a public place like the internet to tell everybody else what you're doing. Great spin, if you like. Great spin, because that answer only came out when everybody in the media went nuts about it.
Well, yeah, but actually, he does have a point, you know.
Does he? What point?
Well, he has a point about the fact that, you know, if you telegraph to people that you're out, you see, one thing that always strikes me is that you have people on the streets in every town who stop you on the street, say that they represent a charity or whatever, ask you for your address, ask you for your telephone number, ask you for all your personal details, and then you carry on pottering round Waitrose or whatever you're doing, and they know that you're not in. They've got a phone number to check to see if anybody else is in.
Hmm.
I think things like these are really bad.
Well, I'm just in, because we're going to come on to a Google story a bit later on about privacy and stuff. And I just have this feeling that I'll tell them now. Owners of Rob Me website, don't put my details up there. I don't want anybody to know. My privacy is up to me. I've made it public. It's in the public domain. Don't talk about me on your website. And let's just see if they do.
Well, really, that if we're going to talk about what I think we're going to talk about later on, I think that's a really good point. And also is a very great bolster for the argument that I may be having with you. But it's also, it's like, I know a bloke
you Luddite.
Down here.
You Luddite.
Who,
you
Luddite.
You are.
I'm not a Luddite. Yes. I am not a Luddite, actually. I am far from it. I am a Renaissance man.
Oh, that's good spin. I like that. That's good spin.
What?
Basically, boys and girls, we're always bantering about this, because Lee comes from the old print days.
Hot metal, as it was known.
It was.
And should still be known.
Because you used to have to sort of nail all these bits into a big box thing. And
yeah,
then you
put them in your flong.
Yeah, then you'd print from it, you see. And Lee still lives in that world, which has been gone for like decades. And that's the argument that we permanently have. That
if you ever have locked up your own flong, and you know why I live in the past.
This is the same guy, by the way, that bought his wife a new red flag for Christmas, because the old one, she was getting a bit worn out. She walks in front of him to make sure he doesn't go more than 5 miles an hour in the UK while he's driving.
No, it's just to take the attention off of everybody who's walking along the pavement.
I'm actually
driving a Mondeo.
Very quickly on part one of the programme. Ah, this is just bizarre, this one is. It's totally and utterly bizarre. A comic of Batman. A comic of Batman, which has been sold, get this, in Dallas for $1 million.
Good on you, Dallas.
Batman does Dallas. $1 million. Apparently, it's the spin on it is it's a rare 1939 copy.
Well, it is, that's right.
It's not rare because I don't care. How can it be rare to me? The only thing that comes rare in my world is meat. Meat comes in rare.
Yeah. That reminds me of something, you know. There was a headline in, I think it was The Guardian, and it just said, Toyota boss grilled by US. I thought, well, Americans will eat anything, won't they?
I like that. Did you see him? Standing there with his... Oh, come on, fellas. That was just so funny. Standing up with his hand up and going, I'm really sorry. And like he understood any of it. I mean, oh, dear. Anyway, apparently this sale of the Superman comic comes just days after an edition of the actual Superman comic sold for £1 million, only to be outdone by Batman. Bizarre. Why do people buy this? I mean, if it was like $20, yeah, I can understand that. But how do you get a comic that's worth £1 million or $1 million?
Because it's collectible. It's as simple as that. There's no mystery to it. There's no great window onto the world of the weird collector. No. It's just that's how much it's worth. That's how much somebody is willing to pay for that because of its rarity value, probably because of the artist who actually did the...
So do you reckon somebody will pay £1 million for us then?
One day, Eric. One day.
What, in old cyberspace days?
Yeah.
I really don't see the value in it, boys and girls.
Isn't intrinsically the value in it. There isn't the value in it. But then there's no value in gold.
Well,
it's only the value that we perceived it to have.
Is a weird thought. There's no auction rooms,
yes,
would things be as valuable in terms of monetary things changing hands, if it wasn't for auction rooms? I mean,
here we have it. I could give you a professional opinion on that, being a former antiques dealer. Actually, you know what?
Wow.
If there weren't any auction houses,
yep,
things would be a lot more expensive.
Do you think?
Absolutely. Auction houses are clearing houses. It's where you take the stuff to get rid of that you don't really want.
So it's basically
you've bought badly or that's broken. So and it goes cheap.
Hang on. It's basically the opposite to the council.
Oh, don't start on about them.
Because when you go to the council tip, you throw your rubbish away and have to pay to get rid of it. These places are where you get paid to throw your rubbish away.
Well, there's an interesting twist to that as well. Because what actually happens, and I used to do this, was that you would go to the tip to throw your rubbish away.
Uh-huh.
Right? The bloke who ran the tip, who used to live in that little shack at the corner,
yep,
would watch what you were chucking on, go and rescue it, and sell it to people like me.
Yeah, because you could get a little certificate to allow you to do it, couldn't you?
Well, you could. Yes, and we all had it. I had loads of certificates.
Right.
You take it to the auction house.
Yeah.
And say, you know, I don't know. I'm trying desperately to think of something I bought off a tip that was really good. Here's one. This is the truth.
Right.
I actually found, and luckily the bloke at the tip didn't realise what it was, an LMR railway sign, a cast iron railway sign.
Oh, right.
Somebody chucked it away. I gave him a fiver for it.
Yeah.
Took it down to the local auction house, and really, honestly, I got £120 for it.
Wow. Okay, boys and girls, we'll be back very shortly for part two of Postcard from Poprad with Lee Banks over there in
the wet bit.
Wet bit of Europe, and me, Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the beautiful Tantry Mountains. I'm looking at Aqua City, and it's all the steam coming off the pools. Am I making you annoyed?
Oh, it's probably got a leak.
not like Dubai, mate. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.